feel so special when the presence of the Lord comes into our midst and we can feel his presence here. And it's like, you know, he said, where there's two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of you. And his presence, you know, whether we have a house full or just a few, his presence is here and he just loves us. You know, we're worth his time to come because we're his children. Amen. And he's worth our time. It's, you know, there's just nothing more wonderful than spending time in the presence of the Lord. There just isn't. It's just like, what else could be more wonderful than just spending time worshiping the Lord? That's such a blessing. Well, I wanted to talk tonight about we are children of God. God is our Father. He birthed us into his kingdom, and we are his. We belong to him when we've made him the Lord of our life, invited him to come and live in us. He's our Father. John 3:7 says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So when we were born by our mother, we were born the first time in the flesh as a person. But when we received Jesus into as our Savior, we were born into the kingdom of God, and God became our Father. We're actually the sons and daughters of God when we invite him into our lives. We know that children have the genetic material they have the genes of their parents. Children carry the genes of their mom and dad, and they have physical similarities. They have behavioral similarities to their mom and dad. So we receive things from our mother and father through genes. They're genes. You know, they're past. They're part of us. And we show mannerisms and traits of our parents. Well, as children of God, when we receive him into our hearts, we have received his genes. You know, we're now his children. I'm going to read 1 Peter 1:23. It says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So when we're born again, that life that came into us through receiving Jesus, it lives forever. You know, there will come a time when our body, physical body, will lay down and die. But our spirit will live forever. And our spirit man that's in us will live forever. And there will come a day that our body will also be resurrected. But we've been birthed into God's kingdom, and we now have the DNA or the genes of our Father God living in us. Hallelujah. We actually have the nature of God living in us. Hallelujah. It's there. In Genesis 1, God planted the garden, and then he gave the responsibility of the care of the garden to Adam and then Eve. And when we receive the seed of God planted in our lives, then we have a responsibility to feed that seed in prayer on the word of God so that it flourishes. There's a vast difference in people that have been born again. Some people's lives are flourishing while others are barren. And it depends on what they're feeding their spirit man. Are we feeding our flesh or are we feeding our new spirit man that's born again? We have a lawn at our house, all around our house. We have a lawn, and it's just the natural seed that was there. We never planted a lawn. We just watered it, and it came up, and we mow it, and we have a very pretty lawn now that we never planted, but we watered it. The seed was there. Right just a few feet from there in every direction. It's dry as a bone and desolate because we didn't water it. The same seed is in that barren ground that is in the beautiful lawn that we have. But we have cared. We have mowed the lawn. We have watered it. We've cared for it. And when we have the seed of God planted in our spirits, it can be blossoming if we water it, if we feed it. It can blossom and flourish. But if we don't ever feed our spirit, man, we'll just seem dry and barren, even though we have that seed in us. Galatians 6:8 says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So when we've invited Jesus to live in our heart and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, it's important that we feed it. And we feed it by the Word of God. We feed it through prayer. We feed it through fellowship with one another and other Christians. Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of Man. And when he was living on earth, he was a man. You know, he came as a man. But Jesus made a decision to live in total dependence on his Father, to live in total obedience to the Father, and to make himself available to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit would tell him to do something, he obeyed. And so that's how we have to live our lives. Jesus was a man, but he did the wonderful, awesome things he did because he made himself available to the Father and surrendered to him. And we as God's children, we are God's children through the new birth, but we have the choice to follow the Lord or follow our own flesh and our own desires. And so we as God's children need to live in dependence upon our Father, dependent on him. We need to be obedient to our Father, and we need to make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit and spend time in the Spirit and then listen to what he says and be obedient and make ourselves available. That's what Jesus did, all the miracles and everything, because he made himself available to what the Holy Spirit, he listened to him and he did him what the Lord told him to do. When we were born again, God planted his seed into us. And every seed bears after its kind. If you plant a squash seed, what are you going to get? Squash. Whatever kind of seed you plant, that's what the harvest is going to be. Well, we have the seed of life planted in us when we receive the Lord. And so as we water and care for that seed, it is going to produce after its kind. We have God's seed in us. We are his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the full-grown sons of God. So our desire and purpose is to be led by the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and we need to train our ears to listen to him and be led by the Spirit. We are going, because we are children of God, we carry God's genetic material, we carry God's genes within us, because God now lives in us. And we're going to look at some of the things that God is and how that we are to do the same thing. God is love. God is love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in 1 John, it says, God is love. God is love. That's his nature. Going to Matthew 22:37 through 39, and Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The law of love supersedes and cancels out the law of Moses. It just did. He hung all of the old law on the law of love, loving God and loving other people as we love ourselves, which means we need to love ourselves. We can't love other people if we don't love ourselves. And we need to forgive ourselves and forgive other people when we do fail. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love never fails. Never, ever, ever fails. Love doesn't fail. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." So when we are tuned in to the Spirit of God within us, we love one another. It's just part of who we are. God is in there. God is love. And that makes it easy for us to love one another and love people and love ourselves. And so God loves and we love. And then he is light. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." That's talking about God. He's the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's consistent. He's always light. There's no darkness in him. He's total light. In John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" So when we come into the kingdom of God and give our hearts to Jesus, we move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we live in light. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:14-16. And it says, "You are the light of the world." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he told them, "You are the light of the world." Here we see that God was the Father of lights, that Jesus is the light of the world. But then he said, "You that are following my disciples, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who is in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So our Father is light. And because we are his children, we are the light. The genes that the Father has, he passed down to us. So we have the genetic DNA of our Father, which is love, which is light. Amen. Philippians 2:15, "That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So God wants us shining as a light in the world. So God is light and we are light. Jesus healed the sick and cast out devils. Remember how children not only sometimes look like their parents, but they have the same mannerisms of their parents. And so what God does, what Jesus did, we need to be doing because we have his genes within us. Okay, Matthew 4:23-24. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching in the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought to him all sick, people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So what did Jesus do when he was here? He healed the sick. He set the demon-possessed free. In the Great Commission in Mark 16, 15 through 18, Jesus said, "In my name, they," talking about his followers, "will cast out demons, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So Jesus healed the sick, and he wants his followers healing the sick. 1 John 3:8, the last part of the verse says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan or the devil. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to come against demon powers when we find them and cast them out and command them to leave. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world because at that time Satan was in control of them. But when Jesus died and rose again, he took the keys of death and hell away from the devil. And then in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus declared, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And then he said to the believers, "Now you go and cast out devils." So we are God's children. As his children, we have authority over devils. And he told us to go and cast them out. And so that was a behavior of Jesus. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. That's in us. And that's what normal Christianity is all about. Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above," Jesus Christ was said he seated far above "all principalities, all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him," Jesus, "to be the head of over all things to his church, which is his body." So Jesus is the head and we are the body. And you can't separate the head and the body. And so when Jesus gained the power over all authority, all over everything, all over might and dominion and every name that's a name, you know, there's not a name you can name that's not under Jesus. Jesus is far above the name of cancer. Jesus is far above the name of arthritis. He's far above every name that is named. He's seated far above. Hallelujah, and we are his body. Ephesians 2:6 says, and he raised, talking about his children, he says, "And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus." So in the spirit realm, we are seated with Christ, far above all principalities, all power, all dominions. We are in him. Hallelujah, that's our position. So Jesus healed the sick and cast out devils, and what are we supposed to do? Heal the sick and cast out devils. God forgives. 1 John 8:3 through 11, we find the story of a woman caught in adultery. And by the law of Moses, she had to be stoned. But Jesus came on the scene and he told her accusers, "Whoever is without sin, you cast the first stone." And he bowed his head and he wrote in the ground. And when he looked up, they were all gone. And he told the woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Hallelujah. He forgave her. What the law required death for her, but he forgave her and let her go into a new life. Amen. Did Jesus condone the sin and say the sin was okay? No, he let it go. He didn't hold it against her. He set her free to go and be free from that sin. Hallelujah. Forgiving doesn't mean that we okay what someone does. It means we let it go. We turn it loose so that they can turn it loose and be free from it. Hallelujah. Forgiving is so important. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us." You know, Jesus forgave us so much, you know, and we have the ability to forgive other people. And that means let it go, turn it loose, don't hold it. You know, when we forgive someone, it not only sets us free, it sets the other person free. And it sets us free to move forward. As long as we're holding unforgiveness, we're stuck there. We can't move forward. It's so important to turn things loose. And sometimes it's hard because the hurts run deep, but we have to make a decision and say, "I forgive them." And just keep saying it. If you have to say it every minute, just say, "I turn it loose, I forgive them." And pretty soon it'll get from your head down to your heart, and you'll find that you've let it go. Hallelujah. And it sets us free to move forward and sets the other person free to move forward as well. Hallelujah. Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer, right after the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6, 14 through 15, Jesus tells us that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. That's a big motivation to forgive. And so God forgives. I mean, He just forgives it all. It's just so awesome. It says Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. He gave his life for us. He laid down his life while we were yet sinners for us. He loved us so much. Hallelujah. That is just so incredible. So our God forgives and we forgive. It's what part of our new godly nature that we have received. We want to be like our daddy. Amen. Our daddy God. God reconciles men to himself. Romans 5, 8 through 11 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that whom we have received the reconciliation." So, you know, we were bound in sin, and he totally set us free. He reconciled us. He paid the price with his own blood. Hallelujah. He reconciled us. We're going to 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. "Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." So God reconciled man to himself, and then God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, "That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or holding against, not holding their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." I just think that's so cool that God doesn't hold our sins against us.
He just lets them go.
Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus paid the price for us to be reconciled, but we have to accept it. We have to say, okay, I take it. I'll receive it. And so we are to try to get other people to reconcile to God, receive God's gift of his forgiveness. Amen. So Jesus reconciled, and we are to be reconcile others. Amen. Remember when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him? In Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When we receive Jesus, we receive his Spirit within us. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit comes upon us. And we have the Spirit of God within us for our benefit, but we have the Spirit of God upon us for the benefit of others. We're going to look at that a little bit more. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and this is some of the reasons that the Spirit is upon us for. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, so it's the Spirit has come upon us when we receive his Holy Spirit, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. So with the Holy Spirit comes an anointing to preach. Remember in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so we are anointed to preach. Preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what reconciling is. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. I just love God's exchange. You know, ashes kind of mean, you know, we were just burned out. And he takes that and he gives us beauty. I love that. The oil of joy for mourning. You know, God doesn't want us in mourning. He wants us to have an anointing of joy and be full of joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, I just love what the Spirit of the Lord, the exchanges he makes. He says, I'll take your heaviness and give you a garment of praise. How good is that? You know, how many of you walk around Walmart and just look at the people? And how many of them just look like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders? You know, they have a spirit of heaviness. And I think so many people do. And God wants to exchange that for a garment of praise. You know, when you're praising God and happy, it's just, you just bubble. You know, you just flow. Hallelujah. When we have the Spirit of the Lord in it, it says rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being. Hallelujah. We need that Spirit. Amen. And these are what God, this is why the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, God, may be glorified. The message in this says, planted by God to display his glory. You know, God planted us in his kingdom to display his glory. He wants to show off the world that he's powerful, that he's good, that he's a good God. God is a good God. You know, what does he give? He gives joy. He gives, you know, he gives all the good. He gives us beauty. You know, God is a good God. All the time, God's good, and he wants to bless his people. And the people that don't know him yet, he wants them to come so they can be blessed too. He wants people to be healed and whole, set free from evil spirits. He wants them to be happy and well and whole and at peace with the joy of the Lord and the love of God. Hallelujah. You know, God's saying to the world, I want to trade all your troubles for all of my beauty and all of my glory because I'm a good God that loves you and I want to bless you. Hallelujah. That's God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, 10 and 11. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Hallelujah. You know, God loves the nations of this earth. He loves everyone. And he says, I will cause to spring, the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And because he says, I will, you know, we expect it. We believe it. Hallelujah. We believe in his word. And that, you know, God's not exclusive. There isn't, God doesn't give franchises on his glory or his spirit. He says, whosoever will come to me. You know, he loves the nations. He loves every person. And Jesus says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to me. Hallelujah. That's the heart of our Father. 1 Peter 2:9. Says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. Say, I'm God's own special person. Yes, I belong to God. I'm special. I'm his. Hallelujah. He's called us out of darkness. He's brought us into his light. That's just so beautiful and so awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you're our daddy. You're our sweet, sweet, special daddy, that you just take us into your arms. Lord, in the New Testament, they called you Abba Father, and that just means daddy, like sweet daddy, papi. Oh, Ramahashi, you created all of this universe. You created everything that was made, and yet you take us in your arms as your own special children, and you love us so close and so dear, and you rejoice and you take delight when your children come and sit at your feet and love you and praise you. And you take delight in us, Father. And you're just our big, sweet, wonderful daddy. And you want to take us in your lap and just, we can just ask you for whatever we want because of your great love. And whatever will bless us, you will give it to us without fail. You love us and you want us blessed and loved. And Father, I just pray that as your people, that we will show forth your attributes to this world, that we will love as you loved, that we will do as you did, that we will feed our spirit man, and that we will make our daddy God proud of us, that we will be who you want us to be. Father God, we just thank you for your special love and your care for us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Anything that you would like prayer for yourself or for someone else? You know, this is a house of prayer. This is a place where we call upon the Lord, and God is good. God is a good God, and he's a loving God, and he cares for his people. And he just loves to wrap his arms of his presence around us. Father, I just pray right now in this time that your presence will settle over every person in this place. Your Holy Spirit will come upon each one, that they will feel your love, feel your care, that they will delight in you, that their ears will be open to hear your voice and to feel your love. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we just love all you guys, and we bless you and pray that the rest of your week will be blessed and happy, and that you'll be full of joy, and the love of God will just surround you and everything you do. Amen.